John 16, verse 8. And having come, he will bring demonstration to the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness, because I go away to my Father, and ye behold me no longer. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. We have been thinking and pondering this afternoon about the aim or goal of the sending of the Holy Spirit. And we have seen that one of the aims of in sending the Holy Spirit was this demonstration before in the eyes of the world. And that the other side was the teaching, the instructing of the saints. And we have had many precious thoughts brought forward this afternoon as to the task and the value of this divine person who is living in us and will be with us into all eternity. We have also spoken a little bit about how this testimony towards this world will be fulfilled. He will bring demonstration, as the JND translation gives it, to the world. But I think we have not been occupied with the contents, with what he demonstrates before the world, only very cursory. And if we see this verse 8, we can be grateful to the Lord that he gave an explanation to what to these three things in verse 9 to 11. And we will very easily see that there are three things. The Holy Spirit will bring demonstration to the world, firstly of sin, and secondly of righteousness, and thirdly of judgment. Now in the explanation which the Lord gives immediately following these verses, he said, of sin, because they do not believe on me. And then the last one is, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And then the central one, on which I would like to ponder a little while, is of righteousness. We could say that there are two things which are very negative. Sin, because the world has sinned against, because they do not believe on me. So the first testimony, the first demonstration, which is brought about by the mere presence of the Holy Spirit, is that he is a demonstration of the unbelief of the world. This is very hard to understand. I don't think it's a very simple thing, that the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it can only be in the believer, but the Lord does not speak about the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. He speaks abstractedly of the presence of the Holy Spirit, is a demonstration of the fact that the world is in sin. This is the very negative thing. And the Lord explains it because he says, this sin is the not believing in the Son of God. That is not an eternal, because it will have an end. But it is a very serious thing for this world. And still we have heard this afternoon, and I fully agree with that, that the world does not take it. The presence of the Holy Spirit and denounces them as sinners, and still the world does not make, does not take any account of it. But still God works. And many simple souls who see this have taken taken to heart this word, of the word of God in general, and by believing in the Lord do not belong to the world anymore. But the testimony of the Spirit goes on. The sin of the world is here, that they do not believe in the Lord Jesus. And the last testimony, the judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged, is also not in the same way, but in another way, also a negative testimony. The Spirit is the witness of the judgment of the ruler of this world. Now the ruler of this world is Satan. And the Lord Jesus has, by taking the punishment of God on the cross, has also passed judgment on Satan. I think that the clearest passage in this relation, this connection, is Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children partake of blood and flesh, he also in like manner took part in the same, that through death he might annul him who has the might of death, that is the devil, and might set free all those who through fear of death through the whole of their life were subject to bondage. He has through death annulled him, or that through death, as it is said here, he might annul him who has the might of death, that is Satan. And the Lord has taken the judgment upon him, but in his cross, Satan himself was denounced as the one who was the originator of the sin in this world, and judgment was passed on him too. I do not want to go into these negative sides, but rather into the central point of righteousness, because I go to the Father. That is a wonderful sentence, that the going to the Father of the Lord is a sign of the righteousness of God. And this reminds me of Romans, and it is in very close connection with Romans. Because why was it righteousness that the Lord went back to the Father, returned to the Father? Why? Well, I would like to explain that and to present to us the beautiful purpose, the beautiful thought of God in the completion of the work of Calvary. We very often, and we are allowed to do so, think about the work of Calvary as a work of grace of the Lord Jesus and the work of mercy of the Father, that he has of God, that he sent his Son in his grace and in his mercy. And it is true, we have even been justified by grace. But what we very easily forget is the righteousness of God, which comes out in all of the work of Calvary. It was the grace of God who sent his Son. But when he who knew no sin was made sin on the cross of Calvary, and a righteous God punished human sin on a human representative, on a human sacrifice, a human victim, that was justice of God. And we must never forget that. That the grace of God, this boundless grace of God, could only come towards us by the way of the justice of God, the righteousness of God on the cross of Calvary. Where he, the righteous God, punished an innocent victim in our place. But he punished human sin on a human victim. That is why the work of Calvary, the work of the Lord, is so perfect and perfectly acceptable in the eyes of God, only to show this one side. Because all the just, the righteous exigencies of God were absolutely fulfilled by him who was punished in our place. That was the God's righteousness. God is not unrighteous. God is not only full of grace, but God is righteous. And he would not be God if he had not been punishing our sins in the Lord Jesus. It would not have been divine grace if he had accepted us in the Son without punishing our sins in him. But that is one thing. And we know that the Lord Jesus has done all this for us. So, when God saw that his Son had so perfectly borne the sin, the punishment for sins which he had not committed, patiently and perfectly, and had even glorified God in the cross of Calvary, and had taken upon him the payment for sin, what do you say? Death. Death is the payment, is the salary of sin.
The wages.
Thank you. The wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus took these wages upon him. Now he was in death, and had taken all God's just and righteous desire, all his righteousness had been expressed upon him on the cross of Calvary. But now the Lord was in death. And it has been said, and I think rightly, by one brother, it has impressed me very deeply. What if the Lord had not been resurrected? If the Lord had not been raised from the dead, it would, and this is what the brother said, it would have been unrighteous of God to leave him in death in the grave, who had so perfectly borne his righteous judgment. So it was, and that is the explanation. Also the righteousness of God, who raised the Lord Jesus, who had so perfectly fulfilled all his will from the death and put him at his right side. That was the righteousness. It was righteousness to punish a man in my stead, but it was also righteous to not leave him in the grave, not leave him under the wages of sin, but to raise him from the death and to put him at his right side as a recompense for this wonderful deed which the Lord Jesus, our Savior, has done. And I think we may introduce that thought here of righteousness because I go to the Father. Why was it righteousness of the Son to go to the Father? Because this made publicly visible that God had accepted here the Father was perfectly glorified, was perfectly satisfied, was perfectly, had perfectly smelled the sweet odor and could say, "Sit thou at my right hand." And that is why the Lord could say, the world will receive demonstration of righteousness because I go away to my Father and he behold me no longer. The absence of the Lord is not because he is in the grave. Every believer knows that. But because the glory of the Father has raised him, and God has placed him at his right hand, and he even has taken his seat at the right hand of God. And now comes in Romans. Now it is the righteousness of God to count him righteous who believes in him, who is the full expression of the righteousness of God. But Romans 3 says, and it is a wonderful thing to see these expressions. We speak of justification. We speak of righteousness being counted. But we also speak of the righteousness of God. And that we find in Romans 3:23, where it is said, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood, for the showing forth of his righteousness in respect of the passing of the sins that had taken place before through the forbearance of God." And now comes the verse which I wanted to read. "For the showing forth of his righteousness in the present time, that he should be just and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus, for the showing forth of his righteousness." Now the third point is that, and that is why I said that Romans, even if Paul and John had entirely different aims in their writings, but that Romans builds on these two points, these two steps, these two stones, I would say, before, that God is righteous and shows his righteousness. This is not a righteousness which is valid before God. This is not justification. This is not counted righteousness, but this is the righteousness of God, which was first shown forth at Calvary, where he punished the Lord Jesus, which was secondly shown forth when he raised him from the death, and as Romans 4 says, he was raised for our justification, which is another point of view, but still shows the righteousness of God. And now thirdly, God shows his righteousness. In what? That he justifies everybody who comes to the Lord Jesus and says, "I believe in the Lord Jesus." Now God says, now I would be unrighteous if I would not accept somebody who believes in my Son. And now God shows his righteousness, which he has shown towards the Lord Jesus and has demonstrated in this world. He shows it to me. And that is the wonderful thing, that I know the righteousness of God, that he cannot and will not and shall never push somebody away who comes in simple faith to the Lord Jesus. He doesn't have to understand all what I have said this afternoon, this evening. That is a very important thing. We don't have to understand all the wisdom of God, but we have to take hold of the Lord Jesus. And then afterwards we may see the wisdom and the riches and the justice, the righteousness of God, of which we may understand. At least I understood nothing, only the need of a Savior. But here we see how this Savior is presented to us. We may, so to speak, look backwards to Calvary and praise God for what He has done and what for what He is, and praise Him for His perfect divine revelation. God is just, is righteous, that He will never push somebody away and say no to somebody who says, I believe in this mercy seat, in this one who has died for me on the cross of Calvary. That He is for the showing forth of His righteousness in the present time, so that He should be just and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus, him who believes in Jesus. That is the whole presentation, I think, of the justice of God, that we are the recipients of the divine justice. To be justified is something much lower, I would say. It is a wonderful thing to be justified, but to be justified is that, even in faith, to be justified means that God, that I believe in the Lord Jesus, seeing in Him my representative in the cross of Calvary, and God says, you are now justified. I consider you as somebody who has not committed these sins, but I have committed them. But the Lord has borne the punishment. So God says, you are justified. This is His consideration of my person. Justified as if I had not committed the sins for which the Lord Jesus, and they are all sins for which the Lord Jesus has died. But you see, it's not the same thing as God's righteousness. God's righteousness is much higher. It is very near, very closely connected with it. But the highest thing is God's righteousness. Abraham was counted to Abraham, and also to us, it is counted righteousness, which is still something else. Because what was counted righteousness to Abraham? What? He believed God. And that means that God said, very crudely I say now, you have the choice, either to believe me or not to believe me. If you don't believe me, that will be your unrighteousness. If you believe me, that will be the only righteous position you can take now. And He did so. And this faith was counted righteousness. It was the only just attitude, the only righteous attitude Abraham could take. And the same is true with us. To believe in the Lord Jesus now is the only righteous attitude towards God a man can take. When we do that, we are justified, because God says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, I consider you as if you had never committed the sins which you have done. You are justified. But the highest thing is that we know the righteousness of God, of which we are the demonstrations. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, in order that we might become the righteousness of God. And that is the fullest and highest demonstration of what God in His holiness has been towards us in His grace. We are the demonstration, the living signs, the living tokens of the righteousness of God, who has in His righteousness punished the Lord Jesus in our stead, has raised Him from the dead, and is now, on account of that, righteous if He takes us when we say we believe in the Lord Jesus. That is, I think, the whole framework in which the Lord Jesus places these words, that the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit on earth, is given in order to give demonstration of the righteousness, because the Lord Jesus is now at the right hand of God. What a wonderful thing. This is the only, I would say, positive of these three testimonies of the Holy Spirit. But what riches of thoughts and of the purpose of God, we find in these words that the Spirit demonstrates, makes demonstration of the righteousness by the Lord Jesus being at the right hand of God.